good morning. Welcome on this fourth Sunday of Easter. Couple quick announcements. We have canceled, postponed for a later date the cow bingo, the motorcycle ride, and the lemonade stand. So keep a lookout for new dates to come as soon as we're allowed to get back together as a group. Yesterday, the North Carolina Senate Council met and voted to stay in a shutdown mode until May the 31st. At that time, they will look at it again and see when we will open back up and be able to worship as a group. So with that being said, we want to welcome Pastor Talent back this week. Next week on Mother's Day, Joe Davis will lead us in worship. So we'll move on to birthdays. Happy birthday to Billy Curry, Allison Lohr, Rosalie Summer, George Peterson, Melissa Frank. Happy anniversary to Donnie and Debbie Parsons, Lynn and Latifah Dennis. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them whenever wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I want to thank you for the beautiful prelude. Invite you now to join together in confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. O God, our shepherd, you know your sheep by name and lead us to safety through the valleys of death. Guide us by your voice that we may walk in certainty and security to the joyous feast prepared in your house through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Invite the children to come up. Better be good. Our psalm today is the 23rd psalm. Do you remember what that says? Kind of, maybe not. Okay. Well, we'll say it in just a little while and you'll hear. One of the phrases in there says, a rod and a staff. And that God uses those to watch over and protect us. So listen to the words that talk about that. So what's the difference between a rod and a staff? Okay, in this case, it doesn't have to be, but it is. And probably when the shepherds had a rod in the days that that psalm was written, the rod would be shorter. The staff would be longer. The staff is what they used to walk with, so kind of like we would use a cane, you would use the staff to walk. Now, the rod you might carry in a belt that you'd have around you like this. And the rod was what you used if you were trying to protect your sheep from a wolf or from some other animal. Or maybe you just want their attention and you bop them on the head. Not hard, but you just tap them on the head to get their attention. Okay? And this rod, the same word was used also for a king's scepter. Have you ever seen pictures of kings or maybe old movies where a king had like a short, fairly short rod or something in their hand? That's a scepter, and it's the same word. And it was just a symbol of authority and power and was used, as I said, to sort of direct the sheep sometimes if they weren't paying attention, but more importantly, really to protect the sheep from danger. The staff they used to walk with, and in some ways there's not a lot of difference, right? It's just the staff's a little longer. Usually, a lot of times, you'll see pictures of a shepherd's crook. Have you ever seen that, where there's a curve at the top? Or maybe you've seen flowers hang from crooks in people's yards where they have a little stand in the ground and it curves out and comes on the edge and you can hang a flower from it. Okay, that's a crook. And in later centuries, shepherds usually had a crook because the crook would let them sort of get the sheep by the neck or guide them or direct them or turn them. But in the old days, the really old days of the psalm, it was usually just a straight stick they used to walk with. And you'll see people sometimes today use a walking stick. In fact, I often use a walking stick when I'm walking the dog. I just carry it along. Or if you're walking like in the mountains and it's uneven ground and they help make you more stable. But the rod was used for discipline. But when we say it in that psalm, the psalmist used those words because he wanted people to trust that God would look after them and care for them. And that the rod, even though you read other places in the Bible, it talks about spare the rod and spoil the child. Has anybody ever seen that to you? You know, it justifies giving you a spanking or something. But in the psalm, when it says that, it's because God wants us to know that just like a shepherd uses the rod and the staff to guide his sheep, if he's leading the sheep, he'd have the staff in his hand walking, carrying it. If there was a threat to the sheep or a danger, he might take out the rod to try to protect the sheep. And the writer of the psalm wants us to know that God is leading us, and he's also protecting us and watching over us. And so there's a rod and a staff. But it's not something for us to fear or be afraid of, but it's to remind us that God is always leading and watching over us. Okay? Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we give thanks that you are our good shepherd, that you lead us, that you go with us, and that you protect us. Help us always remember that you are watching over us. And all the people say, Amen. Thanks for coming up.
I just want to take a moment to thank everybody that is keeping the church going. I look out and I see all of the empty pews, and I miss my church family. And I can't wait for us all to gather back again. But we do have people who are continuing to do the work that they need to do. Andy and his family, Lynn, Chip, Judy, Dean and his group of people came in and took the pews out, and now they put the pews back in. And we're continuing to be a Holly Grove church, and we need to continue to thank them of the people that are continuing to do the work. And hopefully by June 1st, I hear that we may be back together after that. And when we come back together, please thank everybody that continued to do the things that we need doing to keep the church going. And I sure do miss you guys. I can't wait till you come back. The first reading is from Acts. The baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. By and by, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Our psalm for today is my favorite, of course, the 23rd Psalm. And instead of the shadow of death, think about the coronavirus as what we need to be not afraid of. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil or coronavirus. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is from 1 Peter. It is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were going astray like sheep. But now you have returned to the shepherd and guardians of your souls. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came out that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace from God, our Creator, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Looking out in the empty pews, I'm reminded of something I read years ago in a Christian humor magazine. It was a pretend ad for an inflatable congregation, so that if you didn't have a big enough group gathered, you could just stick these folks out in the pews and blow them up with a pump, and you'd have a full church. I always thought it was funny, but I was thinking today it might be nice if we could do that. It will be nice indeed when we can gather again as a fellowship in Christ. With schools being out and parents and grandparents trying to make sure studies get done, it puts a lot of pressure on families. Plus, with so many out of work, it means that lots of time is spent together and all the other normal tasks have to be taken care of. Weary of constantly picking up clothes from the floor of her son's room, a mother finally laid down the law. For every piece of clothes she picked up, she would charge a quarter. Told her son that was the case. So at the end of the week, she received her $1.50 promptly, along with a 50-cent tip and a note that said, "Thanks, Mom, keep up the good work." Things don't always work out as we think they might. But it is a challenge in many ways for us in this time. There used to be a lot of jokes about St. Peter, and with our emphasis on social distancing, came across this one, St. Peter walking the streets of heaven which he felt looked extremely crowded. He went to the gate to look in the book that keeps the records, and sure enough, there were too many people on the streets, according to the information in the book. So he called St. Paul. Paul, this doesn't look good. I'm sure there are too many people on the streets. Who are these people, and how did they get here? Go and see if you can find out what's going on. So St. Paul went to investigate, while St. Peter stood guard at the gate personally. After a while, St. Paul returned with a report. You are right, Peter. There are extra people here. St. Peter replied, I knew it. Where are they coming from? St. Paul answered, Oh, it's Jesus again. He's letting people in the back gate. Jesus invites us into his kingdom. Oftentimes we look and think and even believe, despite what our professions say, that somehow we have to earn our way. But Jesus brings us in. As it says in the gospel, he is not only the good shepherd, but he is also the gate. This verse that begins the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is the message of the whole psalm. It's a reminder that God will satisfy our needs. All the images shift and change some in the psalm, but that's the message for all of them. It is, in fact, I think, one of the most beautiful and comforting images in the whole Bible. And it is a favorite psalm for a lot of people. It is, for many people, one of the first pieces of scripture they ever learn is the 23rd Psalm. Even as young children, they learn it and are reminded of God's presence and God's mercy. According to scholars, the Hebrew word for paths of righteousness are really more like ruts in the ground for the path. A path used so much that it wears down. So walking with God is like following a well-worn path where many people have trod before. To walk with God in a righteous path is to live in a way that promotes and continues right relationships with the neighbor, with the community, and with God. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Living that way glorifies God. When Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd who will lead us, it means he is also the guide to the paths of righteousness. Jesus leads us and guides us in right relationships if we strive to follow him. The thing is, they don't lead directly to green pastures, from the green pastures to God's house, but they go through a dark valley along the way. The paths of righteousness for Jesus led directly to the cross. Jesus has shown us that way and calls us to follow him. The good news is that when we walk those paths of righteousness, even if they're troubled and through deep shadow, we are walking with God. Jesus today in the gospel talks about leading us on the pathway as our good shepherd, but also as a gate for the sheep. A lot's been written about sheep being dumb animals, and you've probably heard a number of stories about that, and so you may not be real thrilled about being called a sheep. And sometimes they may not be able to find the food and the water, and they will get lost if no one's around to guide them. But the thing that Jesus emphasizes is that the sheep know their shepherd's voice. Whatever we can or may say about their abilities and their intelligence, they recognize the voice of one who cares for them. They follow their shepherd, but they don't follow strangers whose voices they don't know. Even today, if you talk to people who go to parts of the world where there are shepherds and taking care of sheep in poor communities, they still gather their sheep with their voice or with a whistle little pipe that they use that the sheep recognize. Even today, sheep can be put into a pen with sheep belonging to several different shepherds, and in the morning they will come out and go with their shepherd. They follow the voice. They know the voice and the sound. There have even been stories about shepherds walking among sleeping sheep, and if it is their sheep, the sheep will continue to sleep and not be bothered by the shepherd walking. But when a stranger walks among the sheep, they will immediately awake and start bleating an alarm to the other sheep because there is a threat in some way. Well, right now, our lives probably don't seem so much like green pastures and still waters with all the disruption we face. In some places, you're not even allowed to go to the parks to be around green grasses and still waters. All across the globe, right now, there is a fear of death. It's in our congregations, it's in our communities, it's in our country, but it's also around the world, facing people in all places. Instead of the beautiful spring and celebrating all the changes and activities of spring, we find ourselves confronted with the necessity of staying away from people and activities we love to do. One way or another, we're all experiencing a kind of valley of shadows time. For some, it may just be mainly inconvenience and difficulty in dealing with the changes. But for others, it is extremely dark, a time when they're facing serious illness or death. Some have lost those they loved. Some may be confronting the loss of their businesses or the loss of their income for a long time to come. And for those who confront death and the loss of the people they love, they can't even hold a funeral and say goodbye and mourn with their friends and their family. It's a challenging time. It's a difficult time for people in many, many ways. But it tells us in that psalm, and Jesus tells us, to have faith that He is with us, and He will go with us through this valley as long as it takes and as long as it lasts. The thing about sheep, too, is that sheep generally are led. If you have cattle, they're driven. You've watched old westerns, you've seen cowboys having cattle herds and driving the cattle and riding around and yelling at them. But with sheep, they're mostly led. The sheep follow the shepherd and go with the shepherd. And the shepherd protects and cares for them and watches over them. When they're in that pen at night, oftentimes the shepherd in those days would sleep across the entrance. So they really were a kind of gate for the sheep to protect them from things that came in the night and also to make sure the sheep didn't wake up and wander off confusedly. And so Jesus says, I am that gate between you and the dangers and the threats in the world, but I am also your shepherd, and I will lead you on those paths of righteousness, those ruts in the ground that have been trod by so many people before. And we have that promise that Jesus is leading us still in the midst of all that comes upon us, that He is with us. I read sometimes writings from a woman named Peggy Hopps, and she does devotional articles. One she had this week made reference to Dietrich Bonhoeffer in the context of the world in which we live. He grew up in a large family, a close family, in Germany in the early part of the 20th century. He worked at creating a community of people to educate young men when he left the state church and joined the confessing church. He wrote a book called Life Together, which was a guide for living together in a Christian community. and he found a way to create that sense of community for his students. Later, he would be arrested because of his involvement with groups that fought against Hitler. And even in the prison in which he was kept, he also managed to create a sense of community with many of the guards. He had a terribly humiliating and painful death in trying to stop Hitler. Not long before the end of the war, if he had survived another month, he probably would have been set free, but he didn't. He died. And the death there was very hard and harsh. They were hung with piano wire, and they were not dropped from a step, but lifted up in the air, choking them to death. They were stripped naked before they were hung, to humiliate them. Some of the guards with whom he had had a relationship would not even watch the execution because it was so painful. His last words were, "This is the end, but for me, the beginning of life." He knew that God was with him, watching over him. He knew that the Good Shepherd was there for him. The thing about Bonhoeffer is the life he called us to live is a life guided and driven by faith in Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. He was neither a liberal nor a conservative. He was both. He was frustrated with some of the modern theology of the Lutheran Church in Germany, and that's part of the reason he eventually left. He felt it was willing to follow loudest voices around and no longer always relevant to the society of his day. He felt the church was not willing to stand up for what God said was right and against what God said was wrong. In Bonhoeffer, he saw the world differently than many people. He saw that Christ was present in the world. He believed that in following Christ, we separated ourselves in many ways from the world, and that it was not an easy path to follow. When you read his writings, letters and papers from prison, Life Together, and his other work, you see this sense that it's important to follow the shepherd. And the shepherd is a shepherd for all people. A shepherd is not a shepherd of one person, despite our famous image of the shepherd going to save one sheep and bring him back to the flock. But the shepherd is the leader and the one who watches over a flock. And Christ watches over all of us. All of us. And Christ seeks to lead all of us in his path and his way. We are called to work together for the sake of God's kingdom, united not by one point of view or the fact that we all believe the same things, but united by the grace of Christ Jesus, united by the certainty that Christ is our shepherd and that he is leading us and guiding us and will be with us throughout whatever valleys we go through. The church, we can live without fear in the sense that God is with us and calling us to be faithful. In the reading from Acts, the believers shared everything in common. It says they even sold their goods to help one another in times of trouble. They shared God's grace, going to those who had less and receiving what their needs were. They met regularly for prayer and study, gathered to share fellowship with one another. They celebrated with joy, praising God. And that is what it means to live in the house of the Lord forever, throughout this life, not just in the life to come. Jesus told those listening that he is the door for the sheep, the way to a life of grace and mercy. God's word is a word of hope and a word of peace and a word of promise. Peter reminds us that dwelling with God doesn't mean we never walk through the valley of the shadow of death. we will, like Christ, face suffering and difficulty. But we are promised that in the midst of that, Christ will always gather us in and bring us back. For you were going astray like sheep, he said, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Life, or eternal life in John's gospel, is not just about life after death. It's about life in the here and the now, as a community in Christ, finding security and nourishment as part of the flock of sheep that belongs to Christ, a life that abounds in meaning and value and endures beyond death. Like many people, I first memorized Psalm 23 when I was a young child. I didn't know much about dark valleys back then. When you get to the part about preparing a table in the presence of one's enemies, well, if I didn't had enemies back then, I didn't know it. Except maybe some days my brother. He and I definitely had some challenging days on occasion. But nevertheless, those terms didn't mean a lot, but there was something about that psalm that was comforting and peaceful. I'm a lot older now. Now we know what enemies are, and we know that right now one of the greatest enemies is that invisible virus. It stalks us like a roaring lion, to use Peter's words. We're all too familiar also with that final enemy named death. More than ever, we need a shepherd to guide us in this dangerous world. Life isn't easy. It's not all still waters and green grass. We wish it were. We yearn for the day when that may describe our life. But until then, we know and celebrate that Jesus is our shepherd. And with him leading us, we in the end lack nothing, because his presence gives us what we need. In the beginning, the church was more than a group of people who got together for an hour or so each week to hear the word and celebrate communion. They prayed together. They studied scripture together. They ate meals together. They gathered in their homes as well as a synagogue. They shared with one another. If someone needed something, someone else supplied it. This was a community they knew, a community they were part of, and they needed it and offered it without thought. It's this sense of community that we long for now. It's that sense of community that can change the world. It's a community we need. It is that community the Holy Spirit invites us into and calls us to share with the needy world. And it is that community that we look forward to gathering together with again in weeks to come, so that once again we can share and worship and fill this space not with blow-up people spread around, but with real people, friends and family, those we care about, those we want to share the good news with, and celebrate the promise that in the midst of all that we've been through, Christ was there, guiding us and leading us and watching over us, and that Christ will continue to be there, leading us and guiding us and watching over us, with the promise that we will be gathered into his kingdom, both in this life and in the life to come. We have only to trust and listen for the shepherd's voice and follow as it leads us. Amen.
Let us say what we believe by the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Let us pray to our risen Savior on behalf of the church, the world, and all people according to their needs. Thank you, Jesus, for being our good shepherd. Thank you for giving us abundant life, even as we walk through death-shattered valleys. Thank you for knowing us by name, even though we sometimes forget yours. Claim us and guide us every day in spite of ourselves until we are safely in your house forever. Lord, in your mercy. You are the good shepherd and call your sheep by name. Defend the church from peril, provide for its needs, and lead it in paths of righteousness. Through its ministry, lead many to hear your voice and follow you. Bless the work of theologians and seminary professors. Help them to identify and train faithful shepherds called by you to help tend your beloved flock. Lord, in your mercy. You are the faithful shepherd who came into the world as one of us and suffered as we do. As we go through the trials of life, help us to realize that you are with us at all times and in all things, that we have no secrets from you, and that your loving grace enfolds us for all eternity. Lord, in your mercy. You are the good shepherd of this congregation. Lead us with your word. Teach us to do your will with glad and faithful hearts. Lead our children, especially teenagers, in paths of righteousness and holiness. Defend them from every enemy that tempts them to stray from your side. Channel their energy, idealism, and curiosity into ventures that glorify you and lift up others. Lord, in your mercy. You are the gate of your sheep. Protect the people of every nation from false shepherds, from rulers who care nothing for their welfare, and from all the threatening dangers of this world. Bring peace in places of violence, rich pasture in places of poverty, and true righteousness in places of injustice. Lord, in your mercy. Shepherd even of the lost, where hearts are fearful and constricted, grant courage and hope. Where anxiety is infectious and widening, grant peace and reassurance. Where impossibilities seem to close every door and window, grant imagination and determination. Where distrust twists our thinking, grant healing and illumination. Where spirits are daunted and weakened, grant soaring wings and strengthened dreams. Lord, in your mercy. You are the rod and staff of all who stand in harm's way on behalf of others. Guide, protect, and strengthen them. Prosper all their works that make for peace, safety, and justice. Shelter and strengthen their loved ones, and bring them home safely and soon. Lord, in your mercy. You are the shepherd who leads us through dark valleys shadowed by suffering. Be the strong guide and sure comfort of all who call upon you for sickness of body, mind, or spirit, especially Burnett, Gary, Walter, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Dwight, Steve, Randy, Carrie, Libby, Barbara, Mary, Joe, Brian, Bill, Robert, Gary, Cleston, Kenneth, Charlotte, Lynn, Kay, Randy, Eva Ray, David, the family of Clyde Young, Pauline, Brooke, Edwina, Banks, Houston, all those unemployed and looking for work. Fill them with your abundant life, keep them steadfast in faith, and strengthen all who care for them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you prepare a table for us in the presence of our last enemy, death. Thank you for leading home all who listen to your voice in their earthly life. Be our good shepherd, too. Teach us to hear your voice. Nourish us at your table and defend us from our enemy. Fix our eyes upon your cross and lead us through the valley of death's dreadful shadows into your Father's house. Lord, in your mercy. We praise and magnify you, dear Jesus. Accept our prayers and lay them at the feet of your Father, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns as our Lord and our God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and the end bring all of your world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
One more thing. Please remember the family of Bang Koontz, who was a former member here, in your prayers this week. He passed away last week. Let's take together the mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Serve the risen Lord.